Today is Sunday, July 21st, 2019, and this...
Vegas is filled to the brim with signature drinks. You've got crooners consuming Cosmos and martinis perched on slot machines. But lose the booze, and there's one classy concoction with no equal, the shrimp cocktail.
It's 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 700.
Las Vegas, Nevada! I'm just thinking of all the amazing times that we've had here in Las Vegas.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
You're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you think that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Honey, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas is waiting. Out on the streets below.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How are you today?
Warm.
Oh, well, I'm sorry to hear that. I'm comfortable. Thank you for walking our dog.
Sure.
In an effort to keep him under control during our show.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we've got some news, we've got some calls, but first we've got a couple announcements. We're going to talk about our big event coming up in October. It's called The Summit, presented by the Vegas Nerd Society.
Sponsored by Smuckers.
The weekend of October 11th, we will be in Las Vegas. We will be doing this podcast live as part of the Summit main event in the D showroom. There's going to be other events, and we are going to announce one here and now. I'm excited about this.
Me too.
This is going to be fun. This is something we have not done before, and a good way for everyone to get into the spirit of the event and get involved and have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and also, it's the same night as the Pride Parade, so... You can just blend right in.
That works out quite well. Okay, so what we're going to do on Friday night of the summit is a new event called the Vegas Costume Clash. We're going to have a Vegas-themed costume contest. And then afterwards, we'll have a little bit of an announcement party regarding who won it. I believe that we are going to be judges in this.
Yes.
I think it's going to be us and our friend Miss Nober
mm-hmm.
judging these. So it's going to be a lot of pressure on us to... Because it's so hard for us to be judgy.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, so start, you know, combing the internet and your thrift shops and everything else for Vegas-themed costumes. You can take liberties with this. It's, you know, Vegas performers or characters from Vegas movies or a Vegas attraction.
Mm-hmm.
You can go as a...
I want someone to go as Parabounce.
I don't even know what...
I don't know how, but...
Yeah, so there you go. You know, anything that's Vegas related, I guess, is on the table. The one rule...
Well, we have one rule and a few suggestions.
Yes, we will help. Since we're judges... We're going to help you out a little bit
mm-hmm.
as far as what we're thinking.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell Miss Nomer is going to be thinking about. He's, you know, I don't know, but... We've got some idea. Anyway, the one thing is you can't have your face covered because casino security, of course, is...
No masks,
yeah,
basically.
So no masks.
You could do makeup.
I think so.
But no masks.
Like, I don't know if you could do like full face paint, though.
Hmm.
I'm not sure about that.
We'll clarify that.
Yeah, we'll find that out. But no masks.
No masks.
And other than that, it's pretty much up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it should be Vegas-themed. From my perspective as a judge, I want to know looking at you what you're trying to be. I hate when there are costume things and somebody has to go through a detailed explanation of what they are.
Yeah.
That doesn't work for me. I want to look at you and go, oh, hey, it's Siegfried.
Mm-hmm.
Or, oh, that...
Montecore.
Look, that guy is Luxor.
Mm-hmm.
Something, you know, so...
The other suggestion...
Oh, yeah, don't go as us. Don't dress up
as us.
Don't
slap some New Balance on. It's
super easy. I get that.
Yeah.
I get that because I'm that
slap
guy.
Slap some New Balance on, start complaining about everything in sight, and you're Tim.
I once went to a costume party. Everybody was asking me what I was supposed to do. I said I was Gene Rayburn because I was just wearing a sweater and pants. But, I mean, it was just like I didn't have the... So, anyway, you'll get 0.0. You'll get negative points if you try to dress up like us. That's what I'm saying. What else?
Be creative. Have fun.
Yeah, make it Vegas. Just go big.
This could be a really, really fun thing, I think.
Yeah. So everybody's invited to participate, which is going to be a great time. And we'll have more details about how this whole thing is going to work. But
even though I'm a judge, I'm already preparing a modest costume.
Yeah, I might do something. I'll probably try to come up with something festive. Mm-hmm. But we wanted to get this out there early so you have plenty of time to figure out your costume. There are, you know, there's many, many options for ways you could go with this.
Mm-hmm.
You could go very complex. You could go very simple. Every costume has to have, you could, you know, take the mop off, the head off of a mop and be Carrot Top. I don't, you know, there are many options.
Hey, and if your costume is especially extravagant, maybe you want to sign up for a performance circle on Fremont.
Who knows? So there you go. That is going to be one of our fun events at the summit. We'll have more in the coming weeks and months as we lead up to the event, but start preparing for that one now. We want to have a lot of people involved, and I think it will be lots of fun. And as you mentioned, Pride is going on at the event center that night, so there will be a lot of big costumes regardless of us. We might not stand out as much as we had thought, but yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah. All the details on the event are at VegasNerdSociety.com. You can also watch the Facebook group for more details. And, of course, if you have questions or want to keep up on things, follow Vegas Nerds on Twitter. So there you go. I can't wait. I'm really getting excited about the event now that things are starting to roll along and we're announcing things. And some other things are in the works, and I look forward to announcing them all. All righty. And I think we might be doing, in the lead up to this, I think we might be doing some summit podcasts with Hunter and Miss Nomer and that kind of thing. So we'll see where that lands, but I think that might be happening too at some point. Or we could just have them on this show. We'll figure it out. We're going to do something together though. Mm-hmm. 'Cause really a big part of this is, you know, doing stuff with those guys. Yeah. All right. Big time fun. All right. Before we move into news, as always, this podcast is listener supported. And I'm pleased to announce to our Patreon supporters that I dropped a bunch of stuff in the mail on Friday and Saturday. So keep an eye on your mailbox if you are in line for getting some of those enamel pins that we put together recently. I think you'll like what you see. But one thing I want to note is that I learned as I was pulling mailing lists and getting these all ready is that I don't have addresses for a bunch of people. And I learned that it's not a matter of just having your address in your Patreon profile.
You have to activate it somehow.
Yeah, if you were, I believe it's mainly going to be existing people who were at the $10 tier before we converted it and added the physical benefits, the pins, stuff that we have to send out and thus need your address. In addition to having your address in the profile, you need to add it to your membership. And there's just one little setting. There's a My Membership option, and you need to go to your 500 Patreon membership thing and add your address. It's just like one click, I believe. I put a link up on Patreon. I put a blog post explaining this, and I also posted a link to that blog post on Facebook and Twitter. I'll include it in the show notes as well.
Do you want me to review those procedures, test them, or
no?
Are you good?
No, it's fine. I checked them out. You can't do it in the app, unfortunately. So if you're using your phone, you can do it on your phone, but you have to go into a browser to do it because they've got a lot of different settings and stuff, and not all of it's available in the app. So if you could please do that, I will be sending out more as I get more addresses in, and I want to get those to you as quickly as possible. So take a look, even if you think, oh, I'm covered, you might not be. So if you're watching your mailbox this week and don't get anything, and you should, that's probably why. All right. Our Patreon patrons include Peter Donahoe, Melinda Mason, Andy Gov, Dale Uselton, Janet Connor, Raymond Del Martyr, Steve Mick, and KD. Thank you to these and all of our Patreon supporters. We do appreciate it. Patreon.com/500 is where you can find all the details. Big time fun. Okay, some news. Some interesting things to discuss this week. Let's start at Downtown Grand. This is good news, kind of, okay? We are video poker players.
We are.
And are always happy to hear when somebody puts in favorable video poker pay tables, because that is not the trend on the Strip or downtown. Generally, when we see changes in video poker pay tables, they have been downgraded. I should mention before we get into this too deep, whenever we talk about video poker and pay tables and the concept of full pay and things like that, there are usually some questions from non-video poker players. I'm not going to get into a deep discussion of what all this means, but I would recommend going to wizardofodds.com and vpfree2.com. They have a lot of resources on video poker and can explain all such matters. Mm-hmm. So based on the pay tables, you can tell the potential payback percentage, but it requires that you know the strategy and play it perfectly and blah, blah, blah. So there's a lot to it. But obviously, you want the better possibility, the better pay tables, yes, because it increases your potential payback, and that's can
However,
be profitable.
I'm not hauling my candy ass to Samstown just to get full pay video poker.
No, it has to be convenient for us because, mm-hmm, God damn it, that's part of our Vegas experience.
I used to be very crabby about really shitty video poker, and now I'll just suck it up and play.
I know. We're part of the problem.
We are part of the problem.
So Downtown Grand, kudos to them. They've put in a bunch of full pay video poker pay tables, like some of the best that we've seen anywhere in the tourist areas in a long time, and not just a few. They've done it on many, many machines, including some games that pay more than 100% if you're playing perfect and know the strategy and all those, mm-hmm, such things. And those go from the quarter level up to the $2 level, including up to $2 full pay deuces wild, full pay double bonus, full pay bonus, double bonus. There's a whole bunch of them. And like I said, some of those are 100% plus. So when such things happen, especially at a higher dollar or a higher denomination, like $2, the local pros attack, and you, mm-hmm, can't even get on the machines. And that's been the case at Downtown Grand from what we've been seeing on Twitter and other places.
So they actually have people in the casino.
Yeah, so that's something for them. I mean, I'm sure that was part of the thing, like, hey, let's offer this really great video poker. We'll get a lot of people in here. And yes, that is happening.
But
it might not be really who they want. They're going to get, mm-hmm, people who know, you know, who really know how to play and who end up hammering the game until Downtown Grand is losing money on it, in which case they are going to, and this will happen,
they will revert the pay tables.
They will respond and they will downgrade the pay tables. And so they might have been a little too aggressive with what they're doing and not realized what the total repercussions are of offering that. Now, if you offer it if you offer full pay at the quarter level, you've got to play a long time to, you know, churn out a profit. So you're not likely to get the same type of player, but you're going to get people like us who love video, mm-hmm, poker and who are looking for a better deal.
However, part of the allure of full pay is, yes, not only are you getting good odds, but usually you get players, yeah, club benefits along with that. Usually you're accumulating points.
Yeah, so you get points, which mean comps, and sometimes some places cash back and things like that. So that increases the value of the machines even more.
Mm-hmm.
However, and thanks to Justin for pointing this out on the Facebook group, Downtown Grand quietly changed its players club, and now the website specifies that no points are accumulated playing video poker there. Not on just the full pay machines, although I understand most of them are better pay tables now, but if you are playing something that is not necessarily a favorable pay table, same thing. A lot of times, it's not that uncommon if a casino has a set amount of better machines, mm-hmm, they will specify on those machines you're going to earn points at a slower pace or not at all.
Yeah.
Usually at a slower pace. The Cromwell's
a good example.
They have that one bank right by the door from the strip that's, mm-hmm, very popular. It's quarter, better video poker, better video poker pay tables, and they accumulate. I don't know if they still have points, don't they? Just at a much slower pace.
Yeah, just at a slow rate. Yes, very slow.
That seems to be maybe a little bit better thought out option, mm-hmm, than completely
saying you don't get anything.
Yeah, because to those of us who are tourists and who want a room and who want, you know, they want the benefits of a slot club, even though if I had to choose, I would take the better video poker pay tables. But the benefits of players club points are a factor for me as well. Mm-hmm. So finding a balance is probably a little bit preferable option, at least as far as how I look at things, especially once they inevitably do decrease some of these pay tables again, which will happen.
Yeah.
Are they going to then, okay, now video poker earns points again?
Or are they just going to be like, no more for you.
Yeah.
Ever.
It just makes them look foolish when they, and Downtown Grand has a history of that. Like, we're going to do this. And then a week later, nope. We're going to put we're going to move the entire casino around. We're going to put all the table games in the back. And then a week later, nobody's playing table games. Oh, we're going to move them all back. They throw things at the wall, maybe without the best.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know.
I get that to a point, but I feel like they need to do a little bit more research.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they should have known
they throw things at the wall.
Putting in $2 full pay video poker, that's happened before, and within a week they're gone because this is exactly what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like this is something that's never been tried before. Anyway, we'll see what we'll see how long. And I did read one report, and don't know if it's been verified, that they have killed the full pay deuces at the $2 level. They still have it at $1.50 and quarter.
Mm.
Like I said, that's not confirmed. So. So that's happening. Interesting things at Downtown Grand. I give them great credit for trying and for putting in better video poker.
Yeah.
Hooray for that. Especially at a time where we're seeing, you know, blackjack odds decreasing and video poker odds decrease. Anytime they put in better gambling conditions at any casino, I'm
happy to see that.
Yeah, I'm cool with that. It's a great thing.
But there are no slot points at all is a little weird.
Think it through a little bit more. The whole point of a players club is to build loyalty. I mean, that's a big part of it. It's all for marketing and stuff, but you're not necessarily going to build long-term loyalty if you don't offer on the machines that people want to play. So anyway, that's what's happening downtown. There is a new attraction coming to Mandalay Bay. I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. It is called Happy Place. Sounds fun.
Mm-hmm. Many people refer to Vegas as their happy place.
I know. We've discussed that many times. It's opening August 23rd at Mandalay Bay. And it is, sort of like, there's a thing at the Link that we discussed a while back. Similar kind of concept where you go in and they have all these just photo-friendly displays. It's essentially a place for you to post Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
I will read you the description directly from the Happy Place news release.
I will be rolling my eyes.
It
listen
is.
For the sound.
You know what word is coming up here. An interactive, immersive pop-up exhibit with larger-than-life installations and multi-sensory themed rooms. It will turn Sin City into Grin City. Wah, wah.
No.
Publicists. So this thing is 15,000 square feet, which is a lot of space. They're going to have 12 different rooms with happy moments. They're going to have different displays and things. So I have a list of some of the things that they will include at Happy Place. One of them is called Super Bloom, and it is a room filled with 40,000 handmade gold flowers. So that will be bright and happy and fun. An upside-down room that defies gravity and bends reality. So it'll feel like you're in the Dancing on the Ceiling video.
Sweet.
I kind of like that. 6-foot-tall X's and O's covered in thousands of mirrored squares and surrounded by red lips. What is...
Hugs and kisses.
Oh, okay. I was like, tic-tac-toe? What is the red... okay.
Yeah.
Got it. The world's largest indoor confetti dome. I'm kind of intrigued by that, but I fear that I'd come home covered in confetti and I would never get rid of it.
Mm-hmm. You'd find it...
stuck up my ass 6 years later.
Like that time we were on the Prince video shoot.
Yeah. It'd be a lot like that. A giant rainbow complete with a pot of happiness to jump into. Okay. Rubber ducky bathtub of fun. That could get crazy.
Mm-hmm.
The cookie room, which is like stepping inside your favorite chocolate chip cookie, complete with the aroma of fresh baked cookies.
Okay. The aroma is great in person, but that's not going to like translate to your Instagram photo so much.
No, they're just trying to make people happy though, right?
Uh-huh. How sanitary is the pot of happiness that you jump into?
And the bathtub. As well. Well, there's not actually going to be water in the bathtub, but it's going to be like a ball pit at Chuck E. Cheese, I would imagine.
And there are issues with those.
I know, because kids always end up dumping in there, and then there's feces everywhere.
Ah!
Life-size unicorn named Cornelius. So you get the idea of what they're going for here. If you're wondering what the price of happiness is, it's apparently $30 plus fees. That seems steep. If this was $10, maybe I'd say, okay.
Oh, I totally, I'll go in for $10. If I were down there, I'd check it out for $10, maybe 20.
Happy people do happy things. I've heard that said before, and this would be considered a happy thing, but it's really not a happy thing. It's more the perception of a happy thing.
Oh, that's what social media is all about. Look at me. I'm living my best life.
Look at this crazy thing I'm doing in Las Vegas, which is, it is. It is what Instagram is built on, and it is now what they're building attractions on as well. I like having I like the weirdness of Vegas. So I like, you know, that you've got the shark above the bar at Palms. We've talked about that as a very Instagrammable thing. I like that you have. Like
Palms is an Instagrammable place and they've gone out of their way to do stuff like that, but without being
like this. Like, hey, this is a thing. You know, I like the weird globby statue in front of SLS for however long that lasts because it's weird and crazy. And it is one of those things you're going to Instagram, but again, I'm not paying $30 to stand in front of it.
What do you think about the little sculpture garden next to Park on Fremont?
Yeah, it's fine. That's that whole thing, though. That was like, it's kind of, that reminds me a little bit of this, and that they made it sound like it was going to be this grand park, and it's not. It's not a park. It's not just a park in any such way. It's just a concrete slab with a statue in it. I don't know. Anyway, Happy Place opens in August at Mandalay Bay. You can buy tickets beginning on August 3rd at happyplace.me. And I'd love to hear reviews if anybody shells out the $30 and goes. Maybe they'll have, I would imagine they'll have some discounts available for that, but time will tell. Another thing coming to the South Strip at MGM Grand, there's going to be a new restaurant opening this fall. They just announced it. It's replacing an existing or previous Italian restaurant called Fiamma. The new one is called Ombra Italian Kitchen. If you like Italian food, it's going to be, I believe, a high-end Italian place. But this is crazy. You're not going to believe what they're doing here.
Oh.
You're not going to believe that they're trying this in Las Vegas.
Is it a new concept?
It is. I can't believe nobody has thought of this before. Within the restaurant, there's going to be another little area that's sort of hidden away.
Yeah.
That's going to be like a cocktail bar.
Really?
Yeah. It's like a hidden secret. Not really secret because it's in the press release, but I guess it's like modeled after an old speakeasy.
Whoa.
I know.
How novel.
I know. It's nuts that they would do something like this.
How quaint.
That is called Privata. And it is described as a hidden gem of a venue, or the hidden gem of the venue will be the Speakeasy, a cocktail bar that will offer an exclusive mixology experience not to be forgotten. It will not be forgotten unless
I would be the judge of that.
Yes, if you, it depends how much you drink. I think I see that as a challenge. You go in there and you see if you forget the place. I think it can be done. The other thing that I'm curious about is the description of Privata from the announcement here of this new Italian restaurant.
This fills me with joy.
Privata will will transport guests through liquid history.
What does that mean?
I want to know what that means. It's like, welcome to your journey. Let's start with water. Two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. This is where it all began. Next on your journey, I don't know what would come after water. People realized that they could do more with water and develop other liquids. Shall we take a look at juices?
Sure.
Shall we take a look at liquid fuels? Over there in the corner, don't get too close, there are some sickos peeing on each other. We knew this was going to turn bad because it always does. Not all parts of liquid history are glorious, especially not that one.
This is when water sports were invented.
Liquid history.
Yeah.
I get what they're saying, but I don't know that liquid history is the best way to explain that they're going to pay tribute to the history of cocktails. And.
But thank you for giving us a title for our show.
Liquid seems a little broad. You might want to pare that down a little bit.
You might want to specify which liquids.
Yeah. Where's the bodily fluid exhibit? Do you have anything on that? Oh, boy. So there you go. That's coming to Privata at MGM Grand this fall. Enjoy. Finally, this week, there are some changes happening at Park MGM. Oftentimes, when there is a new, and Park MGM is sort of a new property in that they revamped everything, including all the restaurants and bars. usually when something new like this opens, there's a little bit of a growing period where they have to figure out what's working and what doesn't, and some of the things that aren't working get revamped or trashed. We've seen it many times. Downtown Grand, for example, well, they've gone through a bunch of different changes. Mm-hmm. SLS, we've seen a few restaurants close there. It's a common thing. So it's not shocking that Park MGM is going through some growing pains, and their sports book and bar, which is called Moneyline, has closed for the rest of the summer for complete renovations.
Sports book and bar, or just the bar?
I think the sport. I don't know. Maybe they have a window still for the sports book. That was such a small part of it. Hey, Max, shut the fuck up.
Max, come here, bud.
I think one of the neighbors. Our dog alerts us when one of our neighbors is out on his deck having loud phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
And he acts like it's never happened before, even though it happens like every day, because dogs are kind of dim. I appreciate his security function, but okay, we get it. That's one thing you don't need to alert us to. That's what I'm saying. Anyway, Moneyline is closed until the end of August. And they're going to, according to the website, it just says reopening in August. So I don't know if they're going to change the name. I would imagine, my guess, if I had to predict what exactly they're doing, I would imagine the sports book part of it will be revamped to be a little bit more impressive. Right now, it's just a counter space that you walk through on the way to the sports bar.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine that will be maybe a little bit more typical sports book incorporated maybe into the sports bar. They've completely gutted the room, though, so it's going to be a big renovation. So we shall see what comes out of that. So that's happening at Park MGM. Before we get into, we have a fun Hey Remember This coming up, but before we get into that and some phone calls, Auto Slash, you'll save some cash. Fuck yeah, you will. We love Auto Slash. They help you save money on car rentals. They do a wonderful job. They comb through all the discount codes to help you find the best deals. Our listeners continue to experience the magic of Auto Slash. We hear from them all the time, including a recent post from Bo on the Facebook group. He said he's taking his family on an 8-day trip to Denver and the Rocky Mountains in early August. He used Auto Slash to reserve a rental car, and the service worked just as advertised, including receiving occasional emails when the rate dropped. However, he realized at some point that he wanted to get an SUV rather than a car. Did a new search on SUVs, and Auto Slash actually found him a mid-sized SUV for $140 cheaper than an intermediate-sized rental car.
Yay.
Yeah, so awesome deal. You get a bigger, better vehicle, and you pay less. That's fantastic. And then after that, so he posted that, and then within a short amount of time, a couple listeners chimed in with their experiences. Chris said he used Auto Slash after hearing about it on this podcast. For a trip to Phoenix and Orlando, and got great prices and awesome customer service.
Yay.
Kevin chimed in, just gave more love to Auto Slash, saved me $110. Those experiences are really common. That's why I love having Auto Slash as a sponsor. We're hearing great things. People mm-hmm. have had great experiences. Like we say, Auto Slash, you'll save some cash. It's true. Check it out at autoslash.com next time you need to rent a car. It's a great service, and they are great folks. Thank you for your sponsorship, Auto Slash. Hooray. I love hearing such great stories. So thanks to you guys for sharing those too. I appreciate our listeners telling us about. Oh man, he's extra annoying. Guess that walk you took him on really worked out well.
Really was helpful. Yep.
Should we take care of him before we jump into our next segment?
Sure.
All right. We'll see how long this lasts. He has been temporarily dealt with. All right. This should be a fun one to talk about.
I don't remember fucking anything, man.
Oh, longtime listeners will remember that theme music. We haven't used it in a long time, our Ferris wheel theme music. Because there was a period of time where we were talking about Ferris wheels every damn week on this show.
It's true.
Partly because of this item from February 2011, show number 289, across from Mandalay Bay. It had been announced that there was going to be a new amusement park, including a 500-foot Ferris wheel. That sounds wonderful, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The plans also called for a 21,000-square-foot convention center and 139 square feet of retail, restaurant, and office space. But the center point of this whole thing was going to be a giant Ferris wheel. Soon after this, in June 2011, there was a press conference for the now named Skyview.
Mm-hmm.
And they displayed a large part, specifically a bearing.
A bearing, not that kind of part.
No, they wanted to...
That would have been a whole different kind of press conference.
They had this giant bearing that was necessary for the functionality of the Ferris wheel, and they wanted to prove, that was their proof, this is really happening, we have this part. And they were trying to drum up interest because they needed $175 million or more in financing. So that happened. In October 2012, reports emerged that the developer owed millions of dollars to lenders, and there were also some issues related to using prisoners as labor as part of some sort of program.
Wow, okay.
And I don't know if they weren't being paid properly. I don't remember exactly the details, but we discussed it on this podcast, which resulted in me getting a call from their PR firm at the time,
mm-hmm.
and they gave me
A talking to
about how I was completely off base on Skyview, and it was a project that was going to happen, and it was the little guy versus the big guy being Caesars with the Link.
With Link, yep.
The high roller being built, and it was going to happen, and they couldn't believe that I doubted it was going to happen, and I was taken to task by Natalie at Curvin Doak. I still remember who it was who called me. She's still there, too. Hi, Natalie, if you're listening to this. Don't use immersive in your press releases. It's horrible. In January 2013, as creditors filed liens for unpaid debts, the developers insisted other parts would begin arriving. They're being constructed around the world, and they would converge on Las Vegas in a grand procession sometime in May or June.
Guess what? That didn't happen.
Cut to September 2013. The opening date was changed from 2012 to mid 2015. Well, not 2012. That was the original, but they changed it to mid-2015. In January 2014, scaffolding was removed from the two pillars that hadn't been built.
We like to refer to them as the failure pillars.
The failure pillars, which remain to this day. Now, the developers still in 2014 insisted work was continuing behind the scenes. And then in May 2015, a sign went up on the site that the land was for sale, and it remains for sale today. It's still owned by the same people, I believe. And the failure pillars are still there. And Skyview, despite the insistence of the PR folks who weren't happy with my take on it, never was built. And that is Skyview. Remember that?
I do remember that.
Never. Hashtag never forget. And I still take issue with the fact that the Vegas media, you know, they show up for these press events and...
And fall all over themselves.
Yeah, they report all over it, and they don't ask, oh, by the way, who's paying for this? Is there funding to not only complete the construction, but also operation of this thing? Until things turn bad, and then they're like, oh, guess what? This might not happen after all. So that's irritating. Do your fucking jobs.
Okay.
Blood pressure increases just at the mention of Skyview. I should have chosen something else. But it's fun to talk about that, because we talked about it for... You know, many years it was a big story.
Mm-hmm.
And there you go. All right. We've got some phone calls from you guys. Let's start with Joe.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. It's Joe Crow and Mrs. Crow from Motown. Say hi.
Hello.
And we're hanging out at Chandelier watching some poor bastard lose his ass on a Buffalo machine. Had an amazing meal at the Henry for breakfast, the short rib Benedict. Is amazing. That was a wonderful way to start our trip, and we're looking forward to a great week. So we'll call with more stuff as it happens. And man, dude is really unlucky. Time to get up and walk away from that one. All right, love you. Talk to you later. Bye.
Someone losing in a casino in Las Vegas? What? That doesn't sound right at all. Mm-hmm. That's not the Las Vegas I know and experience every 3 to 4 months. All right. Thanks for that call. We'll be hearing more from him shortly. Next up.
Tim, Michelle, it's your Leicester correspondent Ian Dunk here. Absolute pleasure to meet you the other day.
Likewise.
Really was fun. Same. We probably talked you to death.
No.
But we were high on life and high on Vegas, and it was a great moment to meet you after all, listening to you for so many years. So terrific evening. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
We spent the first 5 nights at Cosmopolitan. We first stayed there when it opened, but we've fallen back in love with that property now. Really beautiful when you open those doors and you're on the balcony. So, but interestingly, I booked online, had a minor query having booked it, phoned the hotel, And without me asking, they said, oh, we can actually better the price you've got. And they reduced the cost by 23% immediately. So it does show sometimes it's better to also make a telephone call rather than just rely upon internet booking prices. We then moved on to Golden Nugget for two nights. The obviously well-publicized earthquakes we've been having, but on that first one, I was standing at the window at Golden Nugget in the room, and that whole building was swaying for a good 2 minutes. You could hear it creaking, and it was just an incredible experience, but they must follow me around. That's my sixth earthquake I've been in. The biggest one I had was in Tokyo, but survived them all so far, so good so far on that topic. But that earthquake was nothing compared to the insect blowing fire outside the container park. We went to Turmeric Flavors of India, the Indian restaurant, which, as an aside, is excellent Indian food. But the power of the flamethrower broke two glasses sitting on the bar. It was a bit like a Is It Live or Is It Memorex moment. They just shattered, and the lady there said that this is a regular occurrence, that glasses constantly break in there. The power of the flame was quite interesting. We're now spending seven nights in Caesar's Palace. Went to the Robbie Williams concert at the Wynn. He can't sing, he can't dance, but it was a good show. But it was people watching the entire show through their phones. I just couldn't believe it. There was a girl in front of me watched the entire two-hour show through her iPhone. Really annoying, because all you can see is the screen. Well, to those people, I suggest you ask Alexa to say 100 in Welsh, because that's what those people are. Anyway, I'll check in again later. And again, great to meet you. Bye-bye.
I'm going to leave that up to our listeners to do a search on. I tried it on Siri, and Siri doesn't know Welsh. But I found I found what he's going for there. And I agree.
Yes.
We've discussed this on the show before.
Many, many times.
I am a fan of the idea of...
No cell phones during shows?
Yep. Put them in the locked-up pouches. I'm absolutely fine with that.
Yeah.
People get really outraged. They're like, I paid my money. I'm entitled to take a picture and take video if I want to.
How many times do you go back and watch that?
I know, no, you're not going to watch your shitty cell phone video of the thing. It's like people who videotape fireworks. You're going to watch it once the next day. But fireworks are stupid. I mean, not fireworks. Video of fireworks. Mm-hmm. That's not, you're not, you're not
getting the experience.
You don't get the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, put down your fucking phone and live for 5 seconds. Mm-hmm. Especially at a concert where the people behind you are impacted by your decisions.
Yes.
It's getting harder and harder to leave the house.
It is. It truly is. Although we left the house, went to Vegas and met Ian and his lovely wife.
And that was a good time.
That was awesome.
Totally worth it. All right.
Do you need me to go over and...
I think we need to kennel him for a while.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. Take three.
All right.
Tim, Michelle, how you guys doing? Mark from Atlanta, checking in with a late trip report. Solo trip to Vegas 2019, checked into the California and was able to upgrade to a suite. Let me tell you, I could not be more impressed with the room, the staff, the dealers. Really impressed with California. I can definitely see myself going back there again. Friday afternoon, ventured to Ellis Island for some free play, and it was packed on a Friday afternoon, as you'd expect. Place looked great, and by 2024, they should have that front yard done. I walked down to the link for dinner at Ja Burrito, and then next door, a drink at American. Both very underrated, great spots at the promenade at the link to check out. Again, Ja Burrito and American. Took the monorail down to SLS to cash in some birthday free play, as June was my birthday month. And SLS, you know, hopefully the Sahara name change will help it. It was just, I don't know, just wasn't feeling it. Each trip, I do like to try something new. And for the first time in all my years of going to Vegas, I stopped by the Strat. Never been to the Stratosphere. I don't know what I was expecting, but I really did not meet any of my expectations. The casino floor was just busy, and it just, there was no wow factor. I mean, unless you're going to the top for a drink or for a ride, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I was expecting, but I didn't have a good time. Saturday morning, played downtown all day. Golden Gate looked great. The new sports book, High Limit Room. I even ran into Derek Stevens for a few minutes. And Saturday night, I know you guys are not big country music fans, but I am. And I went and saw Reba and Brooks and Dunn at the Coliseum at Caesars, and man, just a great show. And you know, if any country music fans out there get the opportunity, definitely go go check it out, because they put on a hell of a performance. And it's not like Reba opens and then Brooks and Dunn. No, it is straight. They mix it in and out, and they do a really good job. I'm running out of time, so I will call back with information about a meeting that I had. I had a drink with Plaza CEO Jonathan Jossel. Sat down and talked to him at Oscars, and he gave me his thoughts on Circa. Plus, I found more shrimp cocktail downtown, and it was great. I'll call back in a little bit with the rest of that. All right, guys. Appreciate you. Call back in a bit.
All right. Thanks for that report. We'll hear more from him shortly. Glad to hear that the concert was good.
Mm-hmm.
That is always good when people are pleased with their experience. All right. And yeah, I don't know what's taking so long in that Ellis Island outdoor expansion. It's been going on for like 3 years. And it's like, it's a patio. What the fuck are you guys doing? I think they're building, I don't know, it seems like it's been stalled for a long time, which is strange. Like, why are you not capable of finishing this thing? All right, next up.
Hey, Tim and Michelle, this is Joe Crow from Motown. Just calling with a couple of little things to share. Number one, we made it over to...
He sounds sad.
I know.
I was playing a Buffalo machine. It took all my money, and some guy at the bar was making fun of me.
SOS, we had dinner at Umami Burger, which is still great, very good food. But SOS itself is very, at this point, I feel bad for the people that work there. But, yeah, no action, and just kind of a sad place right now.
That's why
also,
you're sad.
Also, anyone that's using the My Vegas points for monorail passes, make sure you get there early enough that there's an actual human being there. We got over there at 8 o'clock, and unfortunately, no person to help us, so we were kind of screwed. So it goes. Anyway, so we'll call with more stuff later. You guys take care. Bye.
All right. Thank you for your report on that. We do appreciate it. Next up.
Oh, hi, podcasting. Tim.
Hello.
And Michelle.
Hi.
It's Cam and Patty from Canada. At the end of a 7-day... stay in Vegas. We've had a fabulous trip. We're going to have to come back because we've left an awful lot of money here. We arrived and stayed downtown at the Gold Nugget for 2 nights. Within 5 minutes of Patty getting up to the bar to get a drink, she hit a royal flush.
Awesome.
And it's been downhill since then.
Aww.
We've had a great time, and I got to thank the Facebook page for recommending some great things to do. The Santos Quesadillas, tacos, and beer. That's a great restaurant. Cheap as hell. The Japanese bocce restaurant downtown was good. And then we moved to the Old Coast, and we went over to the Palms, to the Green Street that people have recommended, and I think that might just become one of our favorite new restaurants. One of the highlights of our trip was we saw Aerosmith at the Park MGM, and I know some people were upset with a 30-minute video, but you kind of need that in order to get a drink because they're so slow-serving drinks. But the show was fantastic. We've seen them at least 3 times, and that's probably our favorite time of seeing them. Today, it's 111 degrees with a bit of a wind. It's pretty much like stepping into an inspection oven when you go outside. So walking is not that enjoyable.
And then he got cut off. All right, thanks for your report. We do appreciate that. Yeah, Green Street Kitchen at Palms.
Outstanding reviews.
Consistently good reviews. We hoped to get over there during our trip and just didn't squeeze it in, but it's on the list for a future trip for sure based on the experiences you guys have been having. Let's check in with Ian again.
Tim, Michelle, Ian Dunk, final check-in. Hell's Kitchen did that again this year. It's got to be the best value quality meal on the Strip. $80 for the good quality 3-course meal and experience, including the beef Wellington. So we'll be there again next year. Eataly, I was impressed at Park MGM. I think it's been very well done. It is sort of a similar feel to a market in Italy or even in Spain. Not the kind of place you would go for a full meal, but certainly the place you would go for a light bite, get some hams and some cheeses and try different wines. So I think that's a very good addition to the Strip. Whether it can survive is questionable. We've enjoyed our stay at final week at Caesar's Palace in the Augustus Tower. The side entrance here makes it a lot easier to get on the strip without the madness of the main area. It's a quality room. It's a great view. But Caesar's continually annoying. When we were checking in, they were telling everybody check-in was only from 4 until 6. So we paid a $45 check-in fee, early check-in fee, only by a couple of hours. And now today we've been told to extend our stay by 3 hours. It's another $60, which I'm going to have to do because, of course, I don't want to be displaced. But that's one of those annoying things that Caesar's does to you. But overall, we've enjoyed our stay. And for us, the three hotels work. You know, we've had the Cosmopolitan, then Downtown Golden Nugget, then here at Caesar's. It works for us. It's absolutely brilliant because it feels like three vacations in one. Anyway, Friday's cranking up here. The like people are arriving. So I think it's time for us to go back to more sedentary English countryside and relax and get over our Vegas experience because we love Vegas. See you next year.
All right. Mm-hmm. Thanks for your reports. Always appreciate them.
Yes.
I could listen to him give trip reports all day long.
Same here.
All righty. We went to Hell's Kitchen during our trip as well.
Mm-hmm.
We had the we did the status match thing that Caesars offers with their Players Club, where if you have a higher level card at a competing property, they will bump you up to Diamond. And mm-hmm. the sole reason to do that was because there's a $100 Diamond dinner certificate included, and we used that at Hell's Kitchen.
And it was delicious.
We did the three-course thing as well, and yes, it was very, very good. We had, I think, the same table that we had last time we went there, which was a little weird. And
good for people watching.
It was, yeah. I thought the service was a little bit eh.
Yeah.
Compared to previous visits, but the food was outstanding and mm-hmm. totally worth it. All righty. Back to Joe.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. It's Joe Crow from Motown. We're coming to the end of our third day here. Just a couple of things I wanted to share. Number one, definitely two big thumbs up for the Blue Pool at Bally's. That's a great place to just relax. And we sprung for the day bed. We were able to get it for 4 hours for $30. We had two delicious cocktails with tip that came to about $30 or so. Very enjoyable experience all the way around. Definitely recommend the Blue Pool at Bally's. Also, not that you guys don't know about this already, really enjoyed going to Latai for dinner. The chicken satay, absolutely off the hook. Was excited to get that for happy hour pricing. Two apps, that was more or less enough food. So anyway, so we're continuing our vacation. We'll have hopefully more to share. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
All right. Thanks for that report. Appreciate it. I still crave Latai in between trips.
You and me both.
Delicious. Mm. All right. So.
Why do we always record the show when I'm hungry?
I know. Well, it's right before lunch, so it makes sense. But yes, that happens to me too. And then someone will mention something that it like some they mentioned. Cam mentioned the tacos,
mm-hmm.
Okay. I need those in my backyard, please.
I would like tacos, beef Wellington, and some fried rice, please.
All right now.
Yes.
Yes. Our own little personal buffet. All right, next up.
Hey, this is Landry from Orlando. Colin with some comments as well as questions. Our last trip, we hear a lot about Park MGM on the podcast. Last trip, we did stay there in the Nighthawk Suite right off the main elevators. And we were a bit concerned due to the large comment of noise. We did not hear any noise whatsoever coming from the people off the elevators, but it did sound like the pipes were going all night. It didn't bother me much, but my wife said that was definitely a deal breaker. She would not stay there. So I was curious to know, when people are saying issues with noise at Park MGM, are they talking about noise from people or just general noise of like the pipes in the walls? Because we didn't hear anything related to the people. We did eat at Italy a couple of times and it was expensive. We did eat at the La Pizza La Pasta, paid $20 for a pie to go and basically each had a slice and threw it away. The sauce was watered down. It was undercooked. It was probably one of the worst pizza pies I've had. Definitely Eataly. I don't foresee us really eating there again unless we're just trying to get a snack. We did even have ice cream. You just got one scoop each. I think it was about $10 each for just a scoop or two of ice cream. We did play at the Cosmo. We hear you guys talking a lot about the Cosmo. We played there last trip in order to try to get some teaser offers. And while playing, we did hear a girl start to scream that she won $14,000 on one of the slot machines. Unfortunately for her, this was probably her first time playing the penny slots, and she was disappointed when she realized it was really only $140. My last question or my comment was about your book. Have you stated an official word on whether or not you will be publishing an updated version of your book? I do really enjoy listening to that prior to each and every trip to Vegas that I take. It'd be nice to hear some updated information in there. So I'd be real curious to know if you have an official statement or if it's that you will or will not be doing another book or if it's still up in the air. Be interested to hear. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for that report. So first on the Park MGM, and this goes back to when it was Monte Carlo.
Yeah.
It's been reported that their walls are very thin. Mm-hmm. The most of the reports I've heard have been regarding hearing people in other rooms or in the hallway. I don't remember hearing anything about the pipes, but...
But that doesn't surprise me.
No, if the walls are thin and you got pipes running between the walls, you're going to... That might be how it is, but... Yeah, that's a drag that they couldn't do anything about that during the renovation. Regarding the Outsider's Guide to Las Vegas, no plans at this point to update. I had hoped to do that.
You started it and then
I started it multiple times and then quickly lose interest. So I'm not going to say never, but right now there's nothing on the table. So we shall see. Maybe down the road. I would like to, but then the reality of all the work on it sets in and I'm like, ugh. Daunting, but part of me really wants to. Like, I don't like that it's out there and that a lot of it's outdated at this point. I would like to have an updated version, but that drive hasn't been enough to get me to actually sit down and hammer out an entire. It's going to be such a major revamp that it would be an entirely new book. So maybe someday, but not right now. All right. Next up.
What's going on, Tim, Michelle, Mark from Atlanta calling back with a second part update. Again, before I get to it, I know you said skip the niceties, but appreciate everything you guys do. Wanted to get that in before I ran out of time. All right.
Thank you.
So part two of my solo trip to Vegas Saturday afternoon, had a chance to grab a drink with Plaza CEO Jonathan Jossel. We hung out at Oscars for, I don't know, about an hour. He showed me around the new suites they've been working on. The Plaza looks great. And Jonathan was super, super cool guy, real laid back, real easy to talk to. I 35 years old, CEO of a major casino in downtown Vegas, you know, didn't really have an air of arrogance to him at all, just real laid back, easy to talk to. But he did say he is super excited about Circa because my expectations were that it would take business away from him. But he said now the entire focus of downtown is going to be right there. And he's right in the middle of it. So all these eyes down there are only going to be good for him and good for the Plaza. So he is fully on board with Circa moving in downtown. I did tell him to loosen up a little bit on the comps because maybe it's just me, but I feel like the Plaza is super, super tight. But anyway, cool guy. I'm rooting for the Plaza. Oh, speaking of the Plaza, Bright Side at the Plaza, they have shrimp cocktail. $6. Right? I know it's not the 99 cents that we're used to and that we miss, but it was $6 and it was fantastic. Worth every penny. Matter of fact, I got it twice. Once I used some comp dollars and the other time I paid for it. Really good. You can get it at Bright Side. I mean, it doesn't compare to Golden Gate, but it's much better than Fremont, and I was very impressed with that. So definitely check it out. So overall, another great trip to Vegas. Did not win, but then again, had a great trip. So, I'm going to just justify and say came back a winner. Hope you guys have a great weekend, and until next time, man, we'll talk to you soon. Be good. See you.
All right. Thanks for that report. We do appreciate it. We had I had a shrimp cocktail at Magnolia's at Four Queens.
Mm-hmm. As did I.
And, you had one too?
Yeah. You were a little...
No, I know. I was hammered. And I I decided that evening, and it was like we had one more full day after that of our trip. Mm-hmm. And I decided as I was having it that Well, this will be fun. I'm going to have all of the shrimp cocktails that I can find on Fremont Street, except for the steakhouses, because that's a different deal.
And except for the ones you'd already tried.
Yes, I'm going to. And
like Fremont.
And yeah, I'm not doing that again. And I will, you know, do videos of all of them. We did a video of the Four Queens one, I think. That'll be going up sometime. But the, I was on my phone. I was looking, and I think that there's one at Siegel's
at El Cortez.
I don't remember if Binion's had one. I had a list.
Mm-hmm.
And then I...
Then you woke up the next morning.
I woke up the next morning. No fucking way I'm going to have four shrimp cocktails today. Even though I could, and it would be lovely. But if I thought of it on the first day of my trip, I would have maybe done that. But
Had one a day.
Yeah. But the reality of spending my last day having downtown shrimp cocktails, the reality of it wasn't as exciting as when I was hungry and...
Drunk. I do want to try the Bright Side one, though.
Yes, we will have that. So it will be, we'll eventually have a bunch of them. Mm-hmm. But all righty, a couple more calls. Let's check in with this gentleman.
Having a great time at Four Queens, getting four of a kind, and the voice is just like Anita Martini. Just John from Dallas. Have a good night.
All right. That's fun. Enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what else to say. All right, let's finish it off with Joe.
Hi, Tim and Michelle. This is Joe Crow from Motown with Mrs. Crow.
Hello.
And we're all packed up and ready to go back to the airport to fly home. Calling with kind of a trip recap for the last couple of days, a few things we wanted to point out to everyone. First things first, we had just a magnificent day on our anniversary. We made it out to a spa called the Spa at Lakeside 2.0. This is in Summerlin. And for anybody that's on a budget but they want to do a spa visit, definitely recommend it. We had just a magnificent time out there and really enjoyed our visit. Hell's Kitchen was amazing. We had filet mignon and the rack of lamb. And they were so sweet. They brought out a complimentary toffee pudding. Our server was great. Definitely recommend Hell's Kitchen for a special occasion. We made it over. I want to mention the Aria Patisserie. Used to be Jean-Philippe. Really, they're still really good. Wonderful stuff in there. We tried raspberry tart and you had chocolate cake. What else did you have? Strawberry? Chocolate strawberries. Everything from there was just great. Service is really good. And that's such a beautiful space to sit in and enjoy. And then beyond that, we had just some good luck in the casino. I had a great roll at the Aria and doubled up. And Teresa's been slapping the machine silly and and just having a good time. So... to all the 500 folks that weighed in, thanks for all the love. This was definitely an anniversary to remember, a trip to remember. So peace and love to one and all, and take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Congratulations on your anniversary. Thank you for your reports. We do appreciate it. Thank you to all of our callers this week. If you'd like to call our voicemail line, we'd love to hear from you at 702-866-9494. Call early and often. We'd love to hear your thoughts. All right, before we get out of here, we got a couple Karma donations through the old PayPal machine. Thanks to Kelly with a Karma donation for a trip that is starting today. Work and fun. Hopefully it's more fun than work. Good luck to you.
Yes, and thank you.
Dan from Minnesota, a Karma donation from a longtime listener for a trip that just happened. He just wrapped it up. He said, thanks for your commitment to the show.
Well, thank you.
My commitment to the show is more than my commitment to doing another book. That's what we have learned today. 700. I don't know. Should we be commemorating that this is 700 in any way? Just because it's a round number, a multiple of 100?
I don't know. I feel like we should, but at the same time, we didn't really prepare anything.
And, and then 750 seems like that's another one. So you wouldn't want to do both. I don't think we'll probably do either, realistically.
What about 777?
I like 666 better.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 777. I don't know. I never thought we'd make it to 500. Remember I was saying like we were going to have make a big deal out of 500, like a big... thing, and then 500 came. I'm like, fuck, I'm not putting any extra effort into this.
Didn't you just before 500, didn't you do a 10-year anniversary
that
show
I put
or something?
A lot of time into that was daunting, but it was fun. I liked it. Somebody asked about I never did find that somebody had asked a while ago about whether or not the there was something that I had prepared for the 10th anniversary, a segment that I ended up not using, and I wasn't able to locate it. Oh. I know it's archived somewhere, and I don't know where. Someday maybe I'll stumble across it and I'll put it out somewhere. But so, finally, Milva with a Karma donation. Thank you, Milva. We do appreciate all of your support. Thank you so much. What else? Anything else before we get out of here?
Nope.
500bymidnight.com is the website. You can send your Tim and Michelle questions to 500@gmail.com. You can find us both on Twitter. I'm 500. She is Anita Martini. And of course, as I mentioned, the voicemail line is 702-866-9494. Thank you as always for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We do appreciate it. We will be back soon with another show. Until then, have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.